You may be seated. Our first scripture this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34. Hear the word of the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to those chosen, to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come this day and hear your word, and we ask that it would light our path and guide us. Show us how we can best be your people in this world, how we can serve you in every way and at every time. May it light our path and guide us, O Lord. Bless this reading and bless us. Amen. Today's parable is a great one. Today, it conjures up images for me from a book series called The Arch Books. And if you don't know these books, it's okay. I won't hold it against you. Now, when you're a kid and learning to read, these books are great. They tell biblical stories with rhyming. So, who doesn't like rhyming as a kid? Now, some of these books include such titles as The Water That Caught Fire, telling the story of Elijah. Others include some of my favorites, The Rich Fool. It's okay if you haven't read these. It's fine. But make sure you read them. The 8 Bags of Gold, telling the parable of the talents. The artwork is, well, it's a kid's book. But it's great because it allows you to look and distill in small little snippets as a kid. It creates passion in children. And for me, this parable of the unjust judge always links to these books. Now, of course, like any book, there's a bit of artistic license. It happens. Anytime you have a telling of Scripture for kids, there's a certain interpretive license. There are ways to tell the story that are told. Like when the boy with the fish and the loaves comes, it tells the story from his perspective. And in Scripture, we don't get his perspective. So the license is there. Or perhaps there's their presentation of this story in which the widow has an ally, her neighbor, who's a little boy, who helps her go to the unjust judge. And when she goes, she doesn't just go at court on court days. She goes at all times of the day. She goes at night and shouts while he's trying to sleep. Last time I checked, that's not in this parable. So there's this artistic license that happens. But the other problem that comes is how they present the judge. The judge in the story tends to be more of what we understand as a judge. And the problem is that the justice system, for what it was in Jesus' time, is not the justice system we know. We've come a long way, we'll say. Now, for starters, the judge would not have been one of the Jewish judges, particularly because if you had an issue, you'd just go to the elders. You'd go to the elders, the wise old leaders, and they would settle your dispute. And we know it's not a Jewish court, particularly because a Jewish court had three judges. One chosen by the defendant, one chosen by the plaintiff, and a supposed third judge who's neutral. Nice little justice system there. Now, this judge would have been a magistrate appointed by King Herod. Herod. Or by the Romans. Now, these judges had a bit of a reputation. Their official title in Hebrew was Diana Gezeroth, which means the judge of prohibitions or punishments. Nice little title, right? But the common people would change it a little bit. They would refer to these judges as Diana Gezeloth, which means robber judges. You're getting the picture a little bit now. They were notorious for selling their verdicts. If you wanted to win your court case, well, you walk into court with a big stack of money, and these judges were so notorious, it wasn't behind closed doors. Somebody walks in right before the trial, stack of money on the judge's desk. The other person walks in, bigger stack of money. Who do you think wins? And the judge would keep both bags. The fact is, they were horribly corrupt. The poor could never win in these courts. The poor were taken advantage of to such an extent that these judges were said to sell their verdict for a piece of meat. The poor could not win in these courts, no matter how just their cause, no matter how unjust the charge or the attack was, these judges would sell themselves to the highest bidder. And it would seem that the judge in Jesus' parable is one of the worst. He doesn't care about other people. There is no outside voice which might sit him down and say, "All right, seriously, this is getting to the point of ridiculous. Just help the widow." There's no calming voice that this man will listen to. He is not respectful of anyone at all. And what is more is he is not afraid of God. That plays an interesting part. because justice could perhaps come from being afraid or worried or wanting to do what God commands. This man doesn't care. Now, it means even more when you consider who is coming to him. The widow throughout Scripture is the symbol and sign of that, of one of the least of these. Widows and orphans. Those are the two groups of people that are supposed to be cared for the most by the people of God. It is widows and orphans, those who cannot protect themselves, who have no one to protect them, that the people of God were supposed to put in the extra effort to watch over and look out for. And yet, because this judge does not fear God, he doesn't care. He will let his court trample over widows and orphans. He doesn't care about God's commands and commandments. Let's look at this widow for a little bit. We've talked about how she is the epitome of a defenseless and helpless person. Read the context, not ours, but Jesus, into this. You have a vulnerable person in front of a corrupt judge in this parable. She has no hope to sway this judge, no hope for victory. But what is more, her hope is not for victory. Her hope is for justice. She doesn't want anything but justice. Give me justice, is her cry. Now, that could be taken in a few ways, that she is so certain of the justness of her cause that her cry for justice is, in fact, her call for her victory. Or it simply is a call for the judge to hear with unblocked ears her case. She just wants a fair shake. Now, you can make a crack about how she picked the wrong court for that, and, well, obviously she did, but obviously it's probably considerable that she didn't have a choice. What options does this widow have in this parable? What can she actually do? She can't plop a huge bag of money on this judge's stand and say, just make sure it's the right verdict and walk away. She can't do any of that. She's not a wealthy widow. She's not a rich business person. She cannot purchase justice. All she has is one thing: her persistence. The judge tells her to be quiet. He tells her, go away. And what does she do? Give me justice. Give me justice. And like we talked about with the kids, she keeps on going. She keeps on calling for justice. Even after the judge tries to shuffle her off to the side, tries to get rid of her, she continually cries for justice. The judge, it would seem, has a breaking point. He might not fear God or respect people, but he will keep his own sanity and give in. He will give the widow justice. The persistent widow gets justice. Should have caught on better than the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? The problem is, this is not a normal parable. And one of the problems that I've heard is that people take this judge and linearly direct it as God. God is the judge. Whoa, no, 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 no. This is the problem with parables. We get into the rote and rota and we try and plug them in to certain pieces. And sometimes we don't take them individually and for what they are. Here, the judge is not God. It is a comparison parable. One by, if the judge who is corrupt through persistence of the widow will give the widow what she calls for, how much more will God listen to our petitions and prayer? How much more will God, who loves, cares, and keeps us, be with us through our persistence? One of the problems that comes with misappropriately applying this parable is that we will take to our prayers as that child who whines and complains in the cereal aisle until they get chocolate frosted sugar bombs. We'll think that all we need to do is pray and pray and pray for that $1 million, and eventually God will give us that $1 million. No. No. You can't wear God down. That's not how prayer works. God gives us what we want when it matches what we need. God will always give us not what we want, but what we need. Instead of equating this judge with God, as some of us have done, we need to set him aside. Instead of calling this the parable of the unjust judge, as so often we do, call it the parable of the persistent widow. Persistent widow. It just rolls off the tongue. Parable of the persistent widow. The fact is, this woman, this widow, has no hope except in persistence. So what does she do? She calls out to this judge to not give her victory in the courts, but to give her victory through justice. Through justice. This judge who doesn't respect people or doesn't fear God is what she faces. And yet she persists. No matter how loud the whispers of doubt were in her mind that this judge would never listen to her, she keeps on going. Thankfully, God is not this judge. What is this judge is the loss of heart that comes as we wait for prayers to be answered. It's every moment in which hopelessness fills our minds and we struggle to come before God and lay our problems and our cares before God. It's that shadow of doubt that lingers in the back of our minds, saying, give up. Give up. Stop. Don't worry about it. It's never going to happen. The hidden message in this parable is to pray not for what we want, but for what God desires for us. The key is not in fighting a losing fight, but persistence in the face of hopelessness. Persistence no matter what. Think about every time the judge sent that widow away and how she still persisted and kept going. This woman is a model for all of us in how we should pray and go before God, how we should persist in our prayerful lives, because if this judge eventually can be worn down, and he is the epitome of injustice and unfairness, we too can triumph through God over the quiet voices of doubt, hopelessness. Those are the true judges in the parable. But Jesus doesn't just tell this parable and interpret it. He relates and laments about how faithful God is and asks if God will delay in granting justice. Of course, the rhetorical answer is no. But then he issues a challenge. Jesus throws down the gauntlet and asks, when God comes, when Christ returns, will he find faith on earth? Faith and hope are not easy things. They're questions that we live with, things that we hold. We want things in our time. We want what we want. And the problem is that God doesn't act on our timeline. God doesn't give what we want. God gives what we need. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't pray, my will be done. It is thy will be done. God won't forget and be unfaithful. But we need to be faithful. We need to persist in our prayers and understand that how God is going to be is not how we always think God is going to be. Years ago, after graduating seminary, I prayed for patience. And oh, God taught me patience. I didn't get patience. I was taught patience. And the fact of the matter is, God won't always give us what we want. God will always teach us or give us what we need. Brothers and sisters, may we trust that God will act out of love for us, be with us no matter what, watch over and guide us. And may we persist in our prayers as faithfully and as stubbornly as the widow in the parable does. Amen. At this time,